of John. Gospel of John, chapter 19.
Appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're especially honored to have you. You chose to spend your Easter morning with us. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you come back and see us again. We want you to just make yourself home. We've got a good bunch of folks here, just folks who, just regular folk like the rest of us, and we want to see folks come to know Christ as Savior and grow in Him and be encouragement one to another. So I really want to encourage you, if you don't have a church home, please come back and see us again. It's good to see some of our folks who are out of town. It's good to see the Aaron's with us. That was good. I'm glad if you're in town with us this morning. God bless you. Always good to see you. And amen. Amen. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. The Gospel of John, not 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 19, verse number 16, if you will. Been putting up, my voice has been pretty scratchy, so pardon that. I hope we'll be able to get through this. John chapter 19, verse number 16 says, talking about the Christians in the middle of the crucifixion, there's been the crown of thorns, he's gone before Pilate, he's gone before Herod, back to Pilate. They've sentenced him to death. The preparations have been made. Verse number 16 says, then delivered he him, Jesus, therefore unto them to be crucified. The word crucified really means to impale. What it means, to impale. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I want you to look at that verse one more time. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, while he hung on the cross, while he bled and died, while he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As the thief said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, verily, thou shalt be with me in paradise. While he was going to be saying, it is finished. Father, in thy hand I commend my spirit. Verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. What's his mother's name? Mary. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. God didn't put this verse in here by accident. And I think there's some things we can see in these three Marys. And we're going to talk about that this morning, three Marys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your willingness to go to the cross, for condescending and looking upon our helpless estate. Rather than choosing to lose us to death and hell, you chose to give us another opportunity to choose you back and have life. And Lord, every one of us is in essentially the same condition, with the same choice, as we spoke about last week, to come to a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for caring about us, for dying for us, conquering death and rising again. Lord, I pray that you'll help us during these few moments while we open your word. I want to be encouragement. And Lord, whatever the need may be, and again, Lord, if there be one here this morning, I know most of the folks in this room have already seen their need for salvation, received Christ as their Savior, but if there be one this morning that hasn't yet got that settled, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts. What rejoicing there's be in heaven and here to know the one, another sheep has been found. Lord, I pray that you bless, pray that your Holy Spirit to move and give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. So there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I was doing some devotions, reading my Bible some weeks ago, and I came across this passage, and a thought came to me about all these ladies named Mary. When we were down in Maryland, there was, I guess I can say it this way. There's a boxer by the name of George Foreman, and I think he has two or three sons, and they're all named George Foreman. So you say, well, is there really, I mean, really, is it, you think that there's a lady named Mary who has a sister named Mary? We have a lady who's come to our church some whose name is Maria, which is Mary, and she has a sister whose name is Maria. And so, no, it's not unusual. All these ladies named Mary, the trio of Marys. You've heard about the three tenors? Well, this is the three Marys. They had the same name. And I think God put this here for a reason. In many ways, we are all different. But in many ways, we are all alike. We all have the same title, sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, someone may have come off really short of the glory of God. Or some maybe not so far, but we're still sure of the glory of God. For all have sinned, which means to miss the mark, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The name Mary comes from the name Miriam. Miriam was the sister of Moses. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to hurt anybody because I know we got some Marys in the room here, but you know the name Mary actually means bitter and rebellious. I'm sorry. We got some sweet folks in here named Mary, but that's what it means, bitter and rebellious. And we're all human. We like to get our way. When we don't get our way, we get bitter. Once we're bitter, we become stiff-necked and rebellious. This is much like Miriam was, a sister of Moses. She did well for a while, but then she got a little full of self, and she pushed against God's man, Moses. I happen to be her brother. Now, no, my guess is she knows Moses' mistakes and knows his personality, his shortcomings, and you know how brothers and sisters are. We've lived each other all this time, you know, and we know everybody's faults. But the fact is, God had put his hand on Moses. Was Moses perfect? No, we'll see that. You know, we have seen that in the Bible. But the fact is, she didn't like playing second fiddle to her brother. I don't know. But she did well for a while. Numbers 12, it says, you don't need to turn to it, but Numbers 12, verse 1 says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, Moses, his first wife, passed away, and he married this woman who was Ethiopian. There's a good chance that she was black in color, you know, and I don't know whether that was a racial thing or what it was, but they didn't like it. They just decided they didn't like it, and they said, well, watch, he marries an Ethiopian woman, they say, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? In other words, wait, what about what I think? Moses gets to run the show around here, and I got to follow my brother. Well, if you don't care about what I think, then I don't care about what you think, and I think I'm going to do my own thing. That's kind of where we get to sometimes, because that's human nature. And she got a little bitter. And the Bible says the Lord heard it. Now, when the man Moses was, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, we skip to verse 9, chapter 12 of Numbers. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. The Lord departed. He said, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. He kind of said, I'm not going to be in the middle of this mess. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. In other words, the presence of the Lord is not going to hang around a bunch of folks like that. Their rebelliousness hurt the whole camp. That's why sometimes churches get, you know, upset, and we end up, they divide and a mess, and the world says, well, I guess they're nothing much out there. They don't have any more than we do, because people kind of get upset about some little thing. Has nothing to do with the purpose of what we're trying to do, and we get upset, we'll split over something. That's what happened. And Miriam, God said, I'm not going to put my name on it. And Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, behold, she was leprous. My point being is this. Miriam, Mary. My point being these three Marys in our passage in John 19 are typical of all of us, as you're going to see. Mankind can easily become bitter, and then we become rebellious. And we're all in need of a Savior. But we all can come to the cross. He didn't say, get away from here. He was lifted up and said, come to the cross. See, we all need a Savior. We can all come to a Savior. We can have a Savior. And we all need to continue to look to the Savior. Let me show you the three Marys here real quick. Mary, the mother of our Lord. If you want to hold your place here in John, that's fine. Luke 1, that's a Christmas story. I'm going to read this because I want you to see who she was. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, a typical name of the time, obviously. Regular girl, a typical human. If she's a typical human, then inside her heart, like anybody else's, is a tendency toward bitterness and rebellion. And the fact is, if we let ourselves go there, we really can have a mess. And by the way, this bitterness and rebellion is a result of selfishness and pride. It's in her heart like it's in everybody else's heart. But let me say this. This was one that sought the Lord instead. Look at verse 28. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And we're going to see why she's favored here in a moment. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. Now when he said, Hail, thou art highly favored and blessed among women. She didn't say, that's right, that's me. Well, you came to the right place. She didn't. Verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast her mind, what kind of howdy-do is this? I mean, what in the world's going on? And the angel said unto her, verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. See, apparently he has to say this again because she's not comprehending this. I'm Mary. God knows my heart. I'm not perfect. Are you sure you're at the right house? What's going on here? Verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? An angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Here I am. Whatever you want to do, God, it's okay with me. She knew some of the things she was going to face, the criticisms, the accusations. But whatever you want, Lord, I'm not sure what all this entails, but here's your handmaiden. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39. And Mary arose those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb of joy. Watch. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Says Mary, I'm glad you believe what he was going to say, because now God's going to do some things. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, makes much of God, and my spirit hath rejoiced in, look at it, God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate. I'm not much of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy. Now watch, here's her life verse, if you will. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. It says, I know God will bless me because of his mercy, and his mercy is on them that fear him. This is her testimony. She fears God. And he has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. If you're proud, you think you're something big, it's just your imagination, and he's going to scatter you. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. Just because you think you're something, you're nothing compared to God, and he can get rid of us at any time. And exalted them of low degree. He takes those who think that they're nothing, but they fear God, and says, I can make them something. And he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. Let me say this. She knew she needed a Savior. This is the woman God chose to give birth to his son. Pretty good lady. You could say this. She was the best of the best. She was the best of the best. But she knew she needed a Savior. No matter how great you are, you need a Savior. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. No matter how good we may think we are, we still need a Savior. If you don't think you need a Savior, then you think you're better than the Virgin Mary. The best of the best needs a Savior. Let me show you Mary Magdalene. You're in Luke. Look at Luke 8. Read some scripture here. I want you to see these three ladies first, and we're going to go from there. Luke chapter 8, verse number 1, and it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Mark 16:9, it says, Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now we don't know for sure who all Mary Magdalene is, and there's some folks who think, and if you want to turn back a page to Luke 7:37, I want to show you something here. Some people think this is Mary Magdalene. Some think it's just another lady. I think it's a good chance it's Mary Magdalene, but I think the principle is very clear. Look at Luke 7:37. It says, And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake unto within himself, he kind of talking to himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she's a sinner. She's dirty. I wonder what kind of diseases she has. She has to have cooties. By the way, Jesus did know what manner of woman she was. And he loved her anyway. He went out of his way to accept her because he knew what manner of woman she was. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, to look at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came and hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with oil. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. We have the best of the best. We have the worst of the worst. Now watch this. That's probably not anybody. It may not be anybody. It may be. We may have the best of the best and the worst of the worst, and here we may. But there's a big crowd in the middle, and we're going to talk about the other Mary. The other Mary. Look at John 19:25. Well, let me read that. You turn to Matthew 27. John 19:25, where we start, says, There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Matthew 27:59 says this, And when Joseph had taken the body, Joseph of Arimathea, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. It was Mary Magdalene, you know that gal, and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulcher. The crucifixion is over. They have put him in the tomb. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea have claimed the body, and they put him in the tomb there, and they closed it up. Everybody's basically left, and it's just Mary Magdalene and that other Mary. Matthew 28:1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The other Mary. She was the Mary, if you go back and read it, she was the, looks like the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't know whether she was a middle child. I'm Dr. Sterling Walsh, you know, pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church, but sometimes I go someplace, I'm Janet Walsh's husband when she goes out to speak to ladies. When I go out to graduation to see my kids graduate from college, I'm Hannah's father, Esther's father. For years, I was Sterling and Gladys Walsh's son. We are who we are. This was Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a wife. Pretty normal stuff. Being a sister is pretty normal. Being a wife of Cleopas, that's pretty normal. And she, if you look elsewhere, you'll find that she was Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. She was the James. She was Jimmy and Joe's mom. Basically, she was an average lady, a sister, a wife, and a mother. We really don't know much more about her than this. She's not the best of the best necessarily, but by no means the worst of the worst. But like the vast majority of all of us, just regular folk. Now let me explain a couple. This is very simple. I don't know who you are in here this morning. I know a lot of you, most of you. We might be the best of the best, but most likely we're not. We might be the worst of the worst, but most likely we're not. We're just the other folks. But God doesn't forget the other folks. We want to make sure we knew that He takes care of the other folks. Well, remember when you were in school, it's like the bad kid. I taught school for a while, and there are certain names you remember. And not always for a good reason. You spend a lot of time with them after school. I think sometimes we think, I just live my life and no one even pays any attention. Here I am. I went to church and I left. No one even said hi. We try not to do that. Try not to do that, but it can happen. By the way, if you come to church and sit over here on the far side and don't look at anybody when a handshake in time, you might not get your handshake. And don't blame everybody else. They're just trying to leave you alone there. You figure you don't want to be touched. Just telling you anyway. We're glad to do it, but we don't want to push. She's the other Mary. Let me say this. You know what? They all needed a Savior. The mother of Jesus, the best of the best, needed a Savior. Mary Magdalene, the worst of the worst, if you will, needed a Savior. Most of us are the other Mary. Not necessarily the best of the best, not necessarily the worst of the worst, but still necessary for us to have a Savior. Still necessary for us to experience the resurrection and new life. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, What they've done in life may not be all that notable. But God takes note of our devotion to Him. The actions of the other Mary is taking up space in the Word of God that all of mankind is to read. The other Mary. My name's not in there. Your name's not in there. But He wanted us to know about Mary. This account is forever settled in heaven, and her actions are recorded in the eternal Word of God. I think that God sees this as being very important. Let me show you this. To whom much is forgiven, loveth much. Let me show you this. Mary Magdalene and other Mary were the last to leave the tomb. If you're still close to Matthew 27:55, it says this. We watched it there. Matthew 27:55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, that's the other Mary, she's just Jimmy and Joe's mom, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Everybody's gone. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. The last to leave. Hang on to that. They were also the first to come. They were the first to come to the tomb. In fact, the very first to come to the tomb was the worst of the worst. John 21 says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre." Mark 16:9 says, "Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Watch this. You know why he appeared first to Mary Magdalene? Because Mary Magdalene was the first one to come looking for him. Let me say that again. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, not his mother. Not his mother. Not the other Mary, but the worst of the worst, because she came looking for him. Hang tight with me. Psalm 63, just stay right with me. 63:1 says this, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So I have seen thee in the sanctuary." And then Proverbs 8 says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." I don't know which one of the Marys you are, but those who seek him early shall find him. In fact, to whom much is forgiven, loveth much. Remember that? Thomas didn't show up at church the first time. He missed Sunday night church that first Sunday. And he missed seeing Jesus. He also doubted that the others had actually seen Jesus. Do you realize how much you have been forgiven, Thomas? You remember how much you've been forgiven? And if we did, we would be waiting, anticipating to see Jesus. The other Mary was there early too. Matthew 28, if you're nearby. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as began the dawn upon the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake. Began and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." And when he said, come and see, and then he says, go. That's kind of weird. Just a little side trip here. By the way, it's good to go see. Make sure you know the truth. But don't just sit there and soak and rejoice in the truth. Go tell somebody else the truth. Come, see, get it settled. Now go tell the boys. Go tell the men that he's not here, for he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 8, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." And they were just think about the mixed feelings. "And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, that there shall they see me. So some people, they go, Mary, Magdalene, and the other Mary, they're at the tomb, they're seeing Jesus, and oh my goodness, and they go back. But some think that their exuberance is a little much. And sometimes, in fact, some folks there suggest that it's not real. In Luke 24, it says, and they remembered, the ladies, when they were told, remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 to the rest. There was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary saw Jesus. They all need salvation. Salvation comes to all who will come to him. Let me say this, they all needed a resurrection. There's a common need. We all need, listen, we're all born, whether the worst of the worst, the best of the best, or just one of the others, the also-rans. We need a Savior, but we need a resurrection. They all trusted and waited on the Lord. They all experienced the resurrection. All the ladies were looking for a resurrection. They needed, watch, a new life. And they knew it. They saw Jesus as their only hope. And when it looked like their hope had been stripped away from them, yet they continued to wait on the Lord. They were the last ones gone. Didn't understand. Listen, they didn't understand when they went to the tomb the next morning because they were still taking their spices. But there was something that drew them to Jesus. And even when it looked like there was no hope, we needed to wait on the Lord. Hope. We need a hope when it looks like there's no hope. They needed a resurrection. Okay. Real quick, almost done. So, whether you're the best of the best, the worst, or just one of the others, you need salvation. And that's good. Let's go one step further. I think we need, whether we're the best of the worst, or just one of the others, we need a new life in Christ. Now watch me. If we want a church, you want a family, you want a life, you want a church that's in love with Jesus, let me ask you. What we need, folks, is who will be the first to come and the last to leave? We need to fill the church up, watch me, with sinners saved by grace. A bunch of Marys. That's who you fill the church up with. A bunch of Marys. Bitter and rebellious. So why are we surprised when somebody across the room is bitter and rebellious? And by the way, before we start pointing fingers at some bitter and rebellious person across the room, remember we're also Marys. All right, we're a bunch of Marys. Compared to each other, there's some difference. Compared to God, there's no difference. It's amazing how, quote, good Christian people can look down their noses at the saved Christian people. Sure, good thing that Mary Magdalene got saved. I'm glad she sits over on that side of the church. We need to remember we all need a Savior. The worst of the worst, the best of the worst, and all the rest of us. We should rejoice in the rejoicing of those who have been forgiven much. And if we will remember how holy God is and how unholy we are, maybe we would also rejoice in God our Savior and magnify the Lord like Mary, the best of the best, did. She still made much of the Lord. Because she realized how much she would be forgiven. She stood right there at the foot of the cross of her son in the same crowd as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. chances are none of us are the best of the best. In fact, we may seem like the worst of the worst. But most of us are just some of the others. But we all need a new beginning, a new resurrection. And the only way to come to a resurrection is to go by way of the cross. You know, I wonder what it would be like if we really realized how much God has given us. I think we'd probably be the first ones at the tomb. Be the last ones to leave. Just being gracious. We've had people in our church who have said, you know what, I just wish I could get a cot and put it in the corner of a room someplace and just stay here. And that's good. But it's kind of like Peter, who, if you look at the Bible, says he didn't know what else to say when he was standing at the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, let's make some tabernacles here and just set up shop. And he says, no, we got stuff to do. Come in and look at the empty tomb. Now go tell them. Go tell them. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. We're all a bunch of Marys. We all need a Savior. Simple little message, very simple little message. The Lord made it at home for who we are here this morning. Lord, speak to us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.